Leinster. Part 3. The Wobbly made no attempt to do purely military damage. The enemy command realized that the destruction of civilian morale was even more important than the destruction of munitions factories. In this, the enemy displayed the same acumen that makes the war a fruitful subject of study to the strategic student. Strategic Lessons of the War of 1941-43, U.S. War College, pages 81-82. At nightfall, the monster swerved suddenly and moved with greater speed. It showed no lights. It did not even make very much noise. Then the second flight of home defense planes made their attack. Sergeant Walpole heard them droning overhead. He lit a fire instantly. A little helicopter dropped from the blackness above him, and he began to heap dirt desperately on the blaze. "Who's there?" demanded a voice. "Sergeant Walpole, Post 14, Eastern Coast Observation," said the sergeant in a military manner. "Beg to report, sir, that the dinkus that brought down the other ships is housed in that big bulge on top of the Wobbly." "Get in," said the voice. The sergeant obeyed. With a purring noise, the helicopter shot upward. Then something went off in mid-sky, miles ahead, where a faint humming noise had announced the flight of attack planes. A lurid, crackling detonation lit up the sky. One of the ships of the night-flying squadron. From the helicopter, they could see the rest of the flight limned clearly in the flash of the explosion. Instantly thereafter, there was another such flash, then another. "Three," said the voice beside Sergeant Walpole. Another flash. "Four." The invisible operator of the screw-lifted ship was very calm about it. "Five." "Six." The explosions lit the sky. Presently he said grimly, "That's all of them. I'd better report it." He was silent for a while. Sergeant Walpole saw his hand flicking a key up and down in the faint light of radio bulbs. "Now shoot the works," said the helicopter man evenly. "All the ships that attacked this afternoon went down. One of them started to report, but didn't get but two words through. What did that damn thing use on them?" "A dinkus on top, sir," said Sergeant Walpole formally. "I'd found a monocycle, sir, and was trailing the thing. I'd come to the top of a hill and seen it moving through a pine wood, crashing down the trees in front of it like they wasn't there. Then an egg came down from God knows where up aloft. I stopped up my ears, thinking it was aiming for me. Then I seen the ships. Two of 'em were fallen. They landed, and I heard a couple of other explosions. Little ones, they sounded like." The helicopter man's wrist was flicking up and down. "Little ones," he said sardonically. "Those ships were carrying 500-pound bombs. It was those you heard going off." "Maybe," conceded Sergeant Walpole. "There was 20 or 30 ships flying in formation, going hell for leather for the Wobbly. They were trailing it from the air. They were coming natural for me, because I was between them and it. Then my pants caught on fire."
"What?"
"My pants caught on fire," said Sergeant Walpole woodenly. "I was sitting on the monocycle trying to figure out which way to duck, and my pants caught on fire. The bike was getting hot. I climbed off it, and it blew up. My rifle was hot, too, and I chucked it away. Then I saw a ship go down on fire. The Wobbly'd stopped still, and it didn't fire a shot. I'll swear to that. Just my monocycle got hot and caught on fire, and then a ship busted out in flames and went down. A couple more eggs come down, and three ships dropped. Didn't hit 'em. The concussion blew the fabric off 'em. Another one caught fire and crashed. Then another one. I looked and saw the next one catch. Then the next. It was like a searchlight beam hitting 'em. They flamed up, blew up, and and that was that. The last two tried to get away, but they lit up and crashed. The pilot's hand flicked up and down, interminably. There was the steady, fierce downbeat of the slipstream from the vertical propellers. The helicopter swept forward in a swooping dash. "The whole East Coast's gone crazy," said the copter man dryly. "Crazy fools trying to run away. Roads jammed, work stopped. It leaked out about the planes being wiped out today, and everybody in 3 states has heard those eggs going off. You're the only living man who's seen that crawling thing and lived to tell about it. I've sent your stuff back. What's that about the thing on top?" "I hid," said Sergeant Walpole woodenly. "The wobbly sent over gas shells where the ships landed. Then it went on, heading west. It's got a crazy-looking dinkus on top like a searchlight. That moved while the ships were catching on fire and crashing. Just like a searchlight, it moved and the ships went down. But the wobbly didn't fire a shot." The helicopter man's wrist flexed swiftly. "God!" said Sergeant Walpole in sudden agony. "Drop! Quick!" The helicopter went down like a stone. A propeller shrieked away into space. Metalwork up aloft glowed dully red. Then there were whipping, lashing branches closing swiftly all around the helicopter. A jerk. A crash. Stillness. The smell of growing things all about.
"Well," said the copter pilot.
"They turned it on us, whatever it is," said Sergeant Walpole. "They near got us, too." A match scratched. A cigarette glowed. The sergeant fumbled for a smoke for himself.
"I'm waiting for that metal to cool off," said the helicopter pilot. "Maybe we can take off again. They located us with a loop while I was sending your stuff."
"Damn! I see what they've got."
"What?"
"A way of transmitting real power in a radio beam," said the copter man. "You've seen eddy current stoves. Everybody cooks with them nowadays. A coil with a high-frequency current. You can stick your hand in it and nothing happens. But you stick an iron pan down in the coil and it gets hot and cooks things. Hysteresis. The same thing that used to make transformer cores get hot. The same thing happens near any beam transmitter, only you have to measure the heating effect with a thermocouple. The iron absorbs the radio waves and gets hot. The chaps in the wobbly can probably put 10,000 horsepower in a damn beam. We can't. But any iron in the way will get hot. It blows up a ship at once. Your monocycle and your rifle, too."
"Damn."
He knocked the ash off his cigarette.
"Scientific, those chaps. I'll see if that metal's cool."
Something whined overhead, rising swiftly to a shriek as it descended. Sergeant Walpole cowered with his hands to his ears. But it was not an earth-shaking concussion. It was an explosion, yes, but subtly different from the rending snap of hexynitrate.
"Gas," said the sergeant dully, and fumbled for his mask.
"No good," said the copter man briefly. "Vesicatory, smell it? I guess they've got us. No sag suits, not even sag paste." The sergeant lit a match. The flame bent a little from the vertical.
"There's a wind. We got a chance."
"Get going, then," said the copter man. "Run upwind." Sergeant Walpole slid over the side and ran. 100 yards, 200. Pine woods have little undergrowth. He heard the helicopter's engines start. The ship tried to lift. He redoubled his speed. Presently, he broke out into open plowed land. In the starlight, he saw a barn
and he raced toward that. Someone else plunged out of the woods toward him. The helicopter engine was still roaring faintly in the distance. Then a thin whine came down from aloft. When the echoes of the explosion died away, the pilot was grinning queerly. The helicopter's engine was still.
"I said it could be done, pack of fatheads at headquarters."
"Huh?"
"Picking up a ship by its spark plugs, with a loop. They're doing that up aloft. There's a ship up there, 40,000 feet or so. Maybe half a dozen ships. Refueling in the air, I guess, and working with the thing you call a wobbly. When I started the copter's engine, they got the spark impulses and sighted on them."
"We better get away from here." "Horse is in here," said Sergeant Walpole. "The wobbly came by. No people left." They brought the animals out. The horses reared and plunged, as there were other infinitely sharp, deadly explosions of the eggs coming down 8 miles through darkness.
"Let's go. After the wobbly?" said the copter man.
"Of course," said Sergeant Walpole. "Somebody's got to find out how to lick it."
They went clattering through darkness. It was extraordinary what desolation, what utter lack of human life they moved through. They came to a town, and there was a taint of gas in the air. No lights burned in that town. It was dead. The wobbly had killed it. End of Part 3.